Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete on AM 570 LA Sports. Dodgers pitchers and catchers have reported baseball season officially is underway. David Vasse will join us next segment. We'll find out what the Dodgers hope to accomplish this spring. Ask him about some situations. Are they done making deals? So David will join us as the Dodgers are at work at Camelback Ranch.
Done making deals is never done, Fred. Deals are never done, right?
Well, if you're the Dodgers, you're always trying to
do
something. And the music stopped.
Same thing happened yesterday.
It did. Yeah.
Who stopped the music? Can't stop the music.
Don't stop the music. Keep it going. Oh, the bed ran out.
The bed?
All right.
The bed?
Well, let's find out what's on
the
fire.
Bed?
What's lit?
The bedpan?
It's lit. Fire! Stories lighting up the sports headlines.
Yeah. Join Tiger Woods. Can he win the Genesis Open? He's had severe problems on the course over his career, but he's hot. Bubba Watson in the mix. Can Lefty make it two in a row after winning his fifth Pebble Beach? Kevin Na from Diamond Bar in the mighty mix as the PGA's creme de la creme all gathering in L.A. for the Genesis Open. Returning to the gorgeous Riviera Country Club Pacific Palisades now through the 17th. Welcome to the club.
You know the best part of that golf tournament?
Mm.
Because when I first came to town, I realized something very important. They sent me out to cover the tournament. I went, this is great. I went right out behind the 18th green and fell asleep. I just laid down and fell asleep.
On the grass?
Oh, yeah.
Very relaxing.
Why?
Why not? It was very relaxing.
Yes.
Then I got up, did my reports. It was great. I went out there for 3 days.
I fell asleep three straight days.
I had the best rest. Yeah, I acted like I was doing
something. What is wrong with you?
Why? I was tired. It was sun. It wasn't like this, the weather. I mean, it was nice.
The grass is so perfect. It's manicured magnificently.
Exactly.
A golf ball can hit you.
Yeah, you're lucky like a wayward ball then come smack you in the forehead or something.
Well, I trusted the PGA guys.
Yeah, but you're sitting...
I wasn't directly behind the green. Like if the guy chips over the green, it hits me in the nose. I was far enough back where I could just relax.
Yes.
I don't know. See, you shouldn't... So mischievous people will be like, oh, you see that guy passed out? Watch me hit him right on the nose. They have like Tiger Woods and
hey,
John
look at
Daly.
This drunk pass
yeah,
out
yeah,
over
yeah,
there.
That guy. Let's
yeah. mess with him.
He's like, hey, Phil Mickelson, what do you think? Let's bet like $500 says I can hit that guy right on his nose.
Yeah.
No, senor!
Oh, yeah.
Happens. On a regular.
Yeah, well, I survived.
All right. Now,
isn't that Fred Rogan?
Having the time of his life.
Yeah.
Did you guys see this play last night with Bradley Beal at the end of the Wizards game where he basically took like 19 steps and the NBA didn't call a traveling call? Well, they're sticking to their guns, apparently. They released a statement on Twitter last night and then released another statement earlier today in describing what happened with Bradley Beal, saying the offensive player gathers with his right foot on the ground, then takes two legal steps before losing control of the ball. After regaining possession, a player is allowed to regain his pivot foot or pass or shoot prior to that foot returning to the ground. This is a legal play. I thought that was traveling too, or a double dribble or something, but apparently not. And if anybody has not seen this, you can go look it up. Bradley Beal from last night's game, he literally takes 5 steps before he passes the ball out to Trevor Ariza.
Well, see, you left something out, Kevin.
What was that?
You left out the most important part. It was ruled a fumble.
Yes, it was ruled a fumble, which I didn't know they had in the NBA.
Right, it was ruled a fumble. Right.
He didn't survive the ground.
Yeah.
The court.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was ruled a fumble, and if you fumble, then you can recover and keep moving.
I see.
That's why there was no traveling call, because he fumbled and then recovered.
So did he fumble on purpose?
I don't think he fumbled. No, because that would not be allowed if you fumbled into the end zone. You can't fumble the ball on purpose into the end zone.
You can't fumble on purpose.
But what if you fumble it out of the back of the end zone?
Yeah, that counts against you.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying he fumbled on purpose. I think that someone hit the ball, which caused him to fumble, which no one even knew was a rule.
But if he had half of a toe inbounds and half of a toe out of bounds as he was taking one of those steps and the ball was in the process of coming out of his hand, then it wasn't a fumble, right?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
So I'm glad we cleared that up.
Yeah. He's talking about the tuck rule. What is this?
I don't know.
Upshot. Who calls traveling in the NBA?
Exactly.
James Harden. The beer takes three steps, and then Harden takes two steps.
Ah!
They never call in Harden for the Euro steps. No. Thanks, Irv.
They're just out there doing a waltz, I guess, there, right, Vic?
Absolutely. You can take 4.5 steps. No one's calling in the NBA anymore.
How many steps did the beer take?
Well, the beer takes three, and then James takes two.
I think he should be ashamed of himself.
Not really. He's scoring an insane output.
I don't know what it is. You're imagining, like, the beard jumping off of James's face, and then James jumping back into the beard as he shoots.
That's an Old Spice commercial, actually.
Yeah, pretty good.
That is, like, the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I disagree, Doc. I like it. Now we'll move on. Vic, you're going to love this one.
Yeah.
Ohtani-san. Brad Ausmus, the new manager of the Angels, speaking with the media earlier today as they had pitchers and catchers report. He says he's not going to put a specific date on when Shohei Ohtani is going to return, but they're thinking he may return in sometime in May. This, of course, no, this is true. This is Brad Ausmus. He said it. Now, this would only be as a DH, as we know, undergoing Tommy John surgery, will not be able to pitch until next season, but will be able to return as a DH this year.
Must be very patient with Ohtani-san. Obviously, went through severe medical issues with the Tommy John surgery. He will not be pitching until 2020, but His hitting is insane. I mean, after Mike Trout, who would you want up in a clutch situation on the Angels? You want Calhoun up? You want Upton up? No, I want Ohtani up.
How about new?
I want Ohtani, yes. Ohtani, yes. Hi, Ohtani-san. So give him as much time as he needs to heal. He'll be back, you know, Ausmus, the brand new manager, in place of Soch. But Ohtani-san, man, he's going to have an incredible year.
Does he need to pitch, Vic?
No.
He doesn't need to pitch.
He'd like
you'd
to
rather
pitch.
Have him. You'd rather have his bat in playing,
I
right?
love his swing. I mean, obviously.
I don't know. You seen the Angels' pitching stat the last four years? I might want him to pitch with his left hand.
It's beleaguered. It's a beleaguered staff.
To say the least, Vic.
You're telling me.
Look, you want him in the lineup any way you can get him because he puts people in the seats. And he can hit.
Mm-hmm. Sensational.
I mean, the one thing you don't want to do, if in fact the guy's going to pitch again, you don't want him to re-injure himself hitting. Because that is going to be just devastating. I say take your time with him.
No doubt. Now, this was an interesting story coming from Chris Tucker and a report that came out of an ESPN's E60 TV show. Apparently, there was a situation where Chris and LeBron were in a church service out here.
Yeah.
And Chris says, basically, the two of them, LeBron James and his crew, was sitting in the front row and actually blocked his view of the church. And that almost led to a fight. Chris Tucker said, quote, I'm like, y'all know y'all. Y'all tall. Why y'all sitting in the front seat? I tried to do my Chris Tucker impersonation. I can't really do it that well.
That was nice.
But he says, y'all are tall. Why are you sitting in the front seat? You know can't nobody see up there. He says, LeBron and I almost got into a fight. I'm taking LeBron in that one, guys. I'm just saying.
Why is Tucker so belligerent?
And you know this, man. Yeah.
Chris didn't learn anything from Jackie Chan. Come on.
Those are sensational movies.
Yeah, but have you ever? You haven't.
Because yes, I
have. You're not diminutive in stature. But, you know.
Fred hasn't let that go.
Hey, it is somewhat troubling if you're sitting down and someone gigantic sits in front of you. Have you ever encountered that?
Yes, and you know you're 8 feet tall, too. That's the worst, and they always the ones that want to sit in the front row.
I think
every
you can
time.
Still see God, though. He's pretty big, right? They're not going to block your view from that.
Thank you, Adam.
Inspired.
Yeah, but God is above me. I'm trying to look forward to see the event.
Yeah, I'm trying to see God's messenger, Adam, okay? He is not 19 feet high or way, way up top, okay?
It's about problem with that? Hearing the message.
If you have a problem.
Adam, way to go, Adam.
If Tucker's got a problem, move.
Yeah, move, Tucker.
Man.
Well, what if you encounter that at Staples Center or Dodger Stadium and you can't move? What do you do? What do you do?
You move. Still move.
Yeah, what do you do? Because you can't move.
You can't move and you can't see.
So what are you going to do? Somebody big sits in front of you, and you got your, you know, got your popcorn ready. You got everything ready. You got your soda. You got your chihuahua. And somebody big sits in front of you at the game. What do?
You got to get the angle. You got to get the angle.
Yo, you've got to get the angle.
Got to get the angle.
Got to get the angle.
Hey, man, I'm going to need you to slouch down for the next two and a half hours. Can you do that for me?
And you can't say anything to him. What are you going to say? You're too big? What are you doing blocking my view? I wonder if anybody's ever encountered that. What do you do? If someone really big or tall is sitting directly in front of you,
it's a great question.
At an event, what do you do?
I mean, it'd be nice if you say, hey, man, would you mind, like, switching seats? I mean, the view's not going to change much for you, like, one or two rows a little bit higher. For me, it'll change very significantly.
Until he sits one or two rows higher, and then the person behind him says, hey, man, Would you mind switching seats?
Fred, that's their problem.
Oh, all right.
I got mine solved.
The guy did that to us at the Super Bowl. Everybody's sitting down. Now, he's not a big guy. He's a little guy. The whole section is sitting. It's not a lull in the game, right? Obviously, the game wasn't very exciting, so not a whole lot of big points in the game where everybody stood up. Little fellas, three of them, whole section. They're the only three standing up, and they're right in front of us. The only three.
I hate that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
No, we had that at Arizona State. We were in Tempe a couple of weeks ago. We're sitting down. The game is getting close. Everybody's sitting watching. The two people directly in front of me stood up. The two people directly in front of me, the only two people. And you want to say, you want to get one of these, hey, sit down! You know, so they don't know it's you yelling it. But you really can't do that. You want to tap them and ask them to sit down. There is no one in the entire section standing but those two. All right, so what do you have to do? You have to stand up. It blocks the people behind you.
Yeah, it's a chain reaction.
How about a little awareness? That's all I'm saying.
I mean, you could politely ask the people in front of you, hey, guys, mind sitting down? I mean, I know you're excited, but there's like 13:25 left in the second half, and it's a 15-point game. I really don't know if this is worth standing over right now.
Yeah. I just don't. Sit your ass down. That's what I said.
By the way, Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson was there with him, by the way. When this whole thing happened, he actually played peacemaker between Chris Tucker and LeBron James.
Where was he sitting?
So Chris Tucker, I guess he was sitting with LeBron. Magic went over to Chris and says, look, man, I have it. Look, LeBron just got to L.A. Let him live a little bit. We all enjoy church together. There's no need to get into any beef right now. Let's
celebrity
just calm it down
church.
A little bit.
Yes. Celebrity church.
Yes, it is.
Should be a TV show in there.
By the way, Chris Tucker basically said, I told Magic, nah, you're not going to smooth talk me with your great attitude. This is ridiculous. But my guess is they calmed it all down and everything was cool. You know how Magic is.
I think Magic tried the same thing with the Pelicans and that didn't work.
No.
Shot.
And that's what's lighting up the social media, gentlemen.
Kevin's been great.
Thank you, guys. Come on now.
Yeah.
Dodgers are in camp.
Yeah.
And we all need to go to camp. David Vasse will join us next.
Rodney Pete and Fred Rogan. And you know what time it is? We do it every hour. It's time to put a grand in your hand.
AM 570 LA Sports has your shot at $1,000. Now.
Let's do it right now.
Text the nationwide keyword, JOCK, to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest. That's JOCK to 200-200.
And that's right. When you get that text, you better answer that phone. I said you better answer that phone. That is the only way we put a grand in your hand.
Do it 14 times a day at 20 after the hour. We want you to win. So be involved in that. I was just thinking, you know, talking about giant people sitting in front of you at games, blocking your view, and what do? What's the most obnoxious thing that's ever happened to you as a fan at a game? The most obnoxious thing. I don't know. Somebody spilled beer on you. There was a fight right next to you.
Yeah.
Somebody screaming and yelling. I hate when people sit behind you and are talking about anything but the game. Anything but the game. Yeah, my vacation, my trip I'm taking is just to, and, you know. Yeah, there's a game going on here. I just don't like that. The most obnoxious thing that's ever happened to you at a game. If you want to weigh in on that, you can tweet us at FredNBCLA. At Rodney Pete 9. All right, Dodgers are in camp. Camelback Ranch is alive and well, and so is David Vasse. David, thanks for jumping on.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. It's baseball season, so I'm excited.
Yep, pitchers and catchers report. Let's start with what to watch for the Dodgers this spring. What are your thoughts that fans should look forward to, Dave?
Well, number one, Corey Seager. He's a key part of the Dodgers replacing some of the production they lost offensively. And I'm a firm believer in Corey Seager. If he's healthy, which I expect him to be, he is going to be an MVP candidate and a huge part of what the Dodgers do offensively. So first and foremost, how he comes through and whether or not he's ready for opening day, which isn't as big of a deal to me as it may be to others. If he's not ready for one game, which happens to be the first one or the first week, that's not as important as him being ready for the majority of the season.
Hey, Dave, you know, the way the Dodgers are made up, guys can play multiple positions. Obviously, Kike Hernandez, Chris Taylor play all over place, and even Cody Bellinger in the outfield and the infield. Second base was a topic, you know, a lot of the offseason of maybe bringing in some guys. But who do you see as being more the regular second baseman? Are they going to let Muncy, you know, have some extended runs there?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like Kike and Taylor are going to get the lion's share at second base, and there are going to be some times where they do move Muncy to second base. But today, Dave Roberts said that Cody Bellinger is going to be their everyday right fielder for the most part, which means that Max Muncy, for more days than not against the righties especially, will be the Dodgers' first baseman, and you'll get David Freese there as well. So I guess that is the first biggest piece of news today out of Dodger camp, that the manager, first day meeting with reporters at Camelback Ranch, said that Cody Bellinger will be in right field more days than not. A.J. Pollock will be their everyday center fielder. So you just have a platoon in left, and you'll have Muncy for more days than not at first base.
All right, Austin Barnes coming into camp. I know he has been working with the hitting scientist during the offseason. What are the expectations for Austin?
Well, he has to prove something in spring training, Fred, that he is back on track offensively, because he was lost from day one last year, and everybody expects him to bounce back this year. He's a 300 hitter at every level that he's been in, and he's not a guy that is a 200 hitter. So everybody expects him to find a way to find his way back to being a respectable offensive player, and it'll be determined in spring who gets the lion's share of the time at catcher.
And Dave, do you think, you know, because everybody's making a big deal about, you know, obviously the big name free agents, Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, but are people making too much out of that, you know, and the Dodgers not signing one of these big name guys that's out there? I know they got A.J. Pollock and Joe Kelly, but do fans need to just relax, and it's not always about, as Fred say, play the name game?
Right, exactly, and this could be debated, but my personal opinion is Bryce Harper is somewhat overrated. He's a very streaky hitter. He's a 211 playoff hitter, so he's not Mike Trout. Everybody's trying to make him out like he is on the same level as Mike Trout. The hype is higher than Mike Trout has, because Mike doesn't self-promote the way Bryce does, but as a player, the substance is not there as much as it is for other players, so yeah, I definitely believe there's so much name game being out there, and everybody just sees the potential for Bryce being transcendent playing in Los Angeles. But as far as what he does on the field, it's not transcendent by any means. And that's proof by what the Nationals have done in the postseason and how they have not been able to get out of the first round with an equally talented team as the Dodgers have had the last few years.
David Vassay, our insider with us, Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete, AM 570 LA Sports. A programming note, offseason Dodger Talk airs tonight at 8 after the Bruin Insider Show right here on AM 570. All right, let's get into the rotation, Dave. I know Clayton Kershaw threw a 34-pitch bullpen session today. Russell Martin caught him. How do you see the rotation shaking out, at least at this point?
Well, I believe the Dodgers will have Kershaw as their opening day starter again. Bueller, Rich Hill, Maeda, and then you probably will have Hyunjin Ryu in the rotation, and Ross Stripling will be in the bullpen to start the season if everybody's healthy in spring training. That can all change, and the first guy up in the rotation would be Ross Stripling. And I believe the Dodgers value Ross as that versatile type of pitcher on their staff that can be a long guy, could be a short guy, can be a starting pitcher, which means also they're adding depth as far as their minor league rotation goes, and for a guy that is a starting pitcher but filled in really well as a relief pitcher, Caleb Ferguson, last year, he probably will start the season in AAA and be first man up as well from the minor league. So I really believe that's the way the rotation and the bullpen shapes up.
And then you mentioned Cody Bellinger going to get extensive play in right field. What about left field? Is that Jock and Andrew Tolles and Alex Verdugo? I mean, who's going to be the regular guy out there?
Yeah, that's a competition between Jock and Verdugo. Tolles probably a distant third to those two guys, and gives the Dodgers some depth in case somebody gets hurt in the minors to start the season. But I'm interested to see whether or not the Dodgers' wheeling and dealing is done, because essentially Verdugo and Jock are the same type of guy. Maybe Verdugo has the opportunity to prove himself against left-handed pitching, but It's going to be interesting to see how the Dodgers navigate that if both Verdugo and Jock are on this team when opening day runs around.
You know, you say you're interested to see if the wheeling and dealing is done. If it is not done, aside from a starting pitcher, what could they be looking for?
You could add depth to the bullpen, definitely. I think you're looking at pitching, or even like Andrew Friedman said when they made the Puig deal, they've traded more minor leaguers in the last 2 or 3 years that has depleted some of their higher-level prospects. So they could trade one of those guys to help that area as well. So I would say pitching and adding some really good young players for one of those two guys.
You know, you mentioned that Ross Stripling will probably start in the bullpen. We know Joe Kelly is there. As you sit here right now, and there's a long way to go before opening day, how do you think the bullpen shakes out?
Well, Joe Kelly, Kenley Jansen, and Pedro Baez probably are your top three relief pitchers. And, you know, from what Rick Honeycutt said a couple of weeks ago, they're expecting a big bounce-back year from Tony Cingrani, who will be a big part of this bullpen. So I think you're looking at those guys plus Stripling. And if you look at it the way those guys pitched at the end of last year and the way Cingrani pitched when he was healthy a couple of years back in 2017, it's a pretty good bullpen as we start the season.
All right, and before we let you go, Bryce Harper came out and said, or maybe Scott Boras said it, or maybe somebody said it to one of them, I'm not taking a short-term deal. Now, have they not signed because no one has offered them a long enough deal, at least in your estimation?
Well, I brought this up, Fred, on Dodger Talk last week. The Phillies have not been shy about saying that they want Harper, they're willing to pay Harper, and you would imagine that they have offered him a deal close to the 10 years and $300 million that the Nationals gave him. So I really believe that maybe Harper doesn't want to sign with the Phillies. So maybe he just doesn't want to play for the Phillies and he's gotten that deal. And a lot of people believe, including myself, that maybe Boras is trying to leverage all these offers and meetings with teams against the Nationals to try to get their offer up, because if he went back to the Nationals, he would go down in history as the greatest National in their short history since moving back from Montreal. And, you know, his value is greater there than anywhere else.
All right. Well, off-season Dodger Talk with David airs tonight, 8 p.m., right after the Bruin Insider here on AM 570 LA Sports. Dave, good talking to you, and we're underway. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, guys. I can't wait.
All right, there he goes, our buddy David Vasse, and the Dodgers pitchers and catchers are underway.
They reported, Fred. When are we reporting?
When are we? I don't think we've ever reported. We've worked here 2 years, but we've never reported.
We're not reporting?
I don't think we're reporting.
I thought we were going out.
Well, we may go out.
Okay.
If we go out, I think it's going to be, I think it's March something.
All right.
Can't really say it
Look
yet.
Forward to it.
Yeah, look forward to it. By the way, Clayton Kershaw was talking to Annie McCullough of the Times, and he said, Bryce Harper and Manny Machado not signing yet, it's not great. It's not great for the game by any means. It just doesn't seem right that they're not in spring training or close to it at this point. That's the thing that's so bizarre, that you've got these guys floating around and you don't know where they're going to end up. I mean, and there are other guys that are very talented. Yeah. Craig Kimbrell, not signed. Adam Jones, Marwin Gonzalez, they've not signed yet. So you're looking at these guys sitting out there. And usually this is the time where you start to get really excited. Now, position players will report next week, but wow.
Yeah, you know, and the thing about it is that this has happened for the last couple of years with guys, right? I mean, free agency, we have this conversation, I think, last year and the year before where, you know, it was very, very slow. And I think there were people out there, and there's some grumblings about there was something going on with the teams getting together, not signing guys to big-time, long-term contracts. And now we're seeing this again this offseason with two of the bigger names that have been out there over the last couple of years. The problem, I think, is, and this happens in all sports, but when you spring training, it is so vital and important to players and to teams, but more so to players, because that's when you kind of get your body right, get your body in shape and all those type of things. And you can work out on your own. You can do all those things, you know, all you want, but it's important to be with your club and playing games during spring training to get into that type of game shape. And when you don't, you start to see injuries from guys throughout the year that don't show up, you know, on time to spring training. And that could very well happen to these guys. I hope not, but you run the risk of that.
You wondered earlier why a guy like Bryce Harper or Manny Machado doesn't agree to a short deal, say a four-year deal. We'll pay you $30 million a year for 4 years. That's $120 million. And that, you know, and we pay an American, so it's good money. And then you can sign another deal afterwards. And Rob Parker made a fascinating point. They don't want to be the first guys to do that. They don't want to be the ones at their price point to go, all right, we'll sign a shorter deal for more money, because that sets precedent. And then none of the agents will ever be able to go back and say, all right, now we want an eight-year deal. It won't happen anymore. And there's a good possibility the union wouldn't want them to sign a shorter deal, even though it was worth more money.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, if the club is gonna be hard on that and play hardball, I mean, what are you left to do? You know what I'm saying? And if I'm a guy, I'm like, hey, 4 years versus 8 years, 4 years versus 10 years, and I'm getting more money for per year if I sign a shorter term deal, I don't care if I'm the first. I'm going out and signing a deal, making it happen.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? It's like, who's gonna crack first? It seems like the ownership is gonna be like, hey, you ask for whatever you want. Come back to us and you have something, what we deem to be a reasonable deal, and then we'll talk. And at a certain point, as a competitor, you know, Rodney, you want to play, you want to get paid, but you also want to play. I mean, how much further? I mean, I know Scott Boras has a heavy influence over, you know, his guys, but is Bryce Harper going to be like, oh, yeah, I'm willing to sit out until June until I get what I want? I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I don't think so either. And if it does, then shame on Bryce Harper. You know what I mean? Because that's, you know. And this whole thing about cracking, I get what Rob was saying. You don't want to be the first. But being the first is the example we gave about Alex Rodriguez, where they were, you know, offering him to take less money when he already signed a contract and they wanted him to take a pay cut. This is a different deal. You're signing a new contract. They're free agents. And, you know, to sign a 4 or 5 year deal versus a 10 year deal and you're making the same amount per year? It's hard for me to swallow and miss a month or miss, like Kevin said, you know, miss till June. That's not worth it.
Well, and here's the thing. If, and you got to believe that Machado and Harper are going to be in camp. They're going to get signed. I mean, something is going to happen. But let's say, using that as an example, they sat. They said, you know what? We're not going to go until we get what we want. I think the danger is the longer you sit, if that season starts, the less likely you are to get what you want. Because everybody then knows we don't need you. It's really simple. If the season starts, and you can't, we can't even believe that they would be sitting. But if that were to happen, why would you then sign a guy a month into a 10-year deal? You wouldn't. It wouldn't make any sense. So, you know, they need to get what they're going to get as quickly as possible. And that's why Scott Boras, oh, we had a meeting with the Padres, they're interested. We had a meeting with the Giants, they're interested. The Nationals, they're still interested. The Phillies are interested. We talked to the Dodgers, you know, they're interested. All he's trying to do is tell everybody there's interest. Somebody step up and give us more. The White Sox with Bryce Harper, we're interested. They were interested. So it just comes down to now, what is the best deal going to be?
But these clubs are not dumb either. You know, they know what Scott Boras and Bryce Harper and those guys are doing. Said, okay, really, are you going to – are you serious about the Padres, or are you just trying to use us for someone else or where you really want to go and to drive up the price and tell some other club that you're interested? So, I mean, they're not stupid. And again, I don't know. I see him going, you know, what about the Nationals? Going back to the Nationals. They were the first ones that offered it out to them.
And didn't they offer a 10-year deal?
Yeah.
Yeah, 10 years, $300 million, right.
You know?
He might have to go back to the table with that.
And they're coming back now going, oh, you couldn't get that 10-year deal anywhere else. Okay, now it's 10 years, $250 million, not $300.
Wouldn't you do that?
Absolutely, I would do that. And another thing, if these guys at 26 years old are not able to pull this off, this long-term, this 10-year deal, then this is the end of that era. This is the end of those long-term 10, 8-year deals that we've seen in the past. Because 26 to 36, that is prime years. And if they can't get it done, who else coming up along the ranks is going to be able to get it done? Why would club do that? They're not going to do it for Harper and Machado. Who else are they going to do it for?
Yeah, the only way that would change is if they found a way, and they're talking about this too, was getting those arbitration eligible years backed up a little bit, because that's a problem too when you're at the Cubs with Chris Bryant. And Harold Reynolds talked about Vlad Guerrero Jr., guys who are ready to play but not being called up, so they don't incur that service time.
They don't start the clock.
Right, it doesn't start the clock in your service time. So they're talking about backing that up a couple of years, so maybe you hit free agency a couple of years earlier than you normally would. So giving a guy who's 23 a 10-year deal might still be on the table as opposed to 26 or 27.
Dan Rios tweets, it's plain and simple why Harper or Machado haven't signed. They're waiting to see who sets the benchmark. But Machado is not worth Harper money at all. Dodgers need to sign Harper now. Yeah, that is some thinking that one is waiting for the other to see who sets the benchmark. But honestly, at this point, if Bryce Harper had the deal that Scott Boras wanted him to have, that would be done. And they wouldn't worry about Manny Machado. That would be it.
So you're saying if they got what they want, if they were looking for $400 million for 10 years, right, and they got that,
deal be done. They'd sign right now.
They wouldn't wait to see if Manny got $425 million.
No, at this point, I don't think so. Not at all. With the market the way it is, if you get what you want, whatever you determine
but
that
what
to
if
be.
It is, what if what you want is more than the other guy?
Well, then you're being short-sighted. Because all you're doing, in essence, is hurting yourself. The longer this ticks on, the longer this goes, ultimately they cost themselves money. That's what happens. There's no reason to get excited about a guy that's not there. And as teams move forward and put things together, that excitement, that big pop, that big spark isn't as significant. So the longer they wait, I think the more it impacts them, the more it hurts them. They need, because when you sign this guy, it's pomp, it's circumstance, it's bells, it's whistles, it's everything. This is it.
Yeah.
We've got our guy. As time goes on, I don't think people are as excited about announcing we got our guy. They're already selling tickets. They're already planning things. Making these big splashes is to get people excited and put them in the seats.
And teams don't really separate until June, right? So, I mean, you think about the Dodgers last year, they got off to a terrible start, and they were, you know, what, third or fourth in the West, and they're looking up going, oh, you know, they'll get it turned around. But teams won't know. So why are you going to pull the trigger on somebody in May or June and just not wait until, you know, after the All-Star break? And then they're in more trouble because then the teams have more leverage because they're like, oh, you know, we just need you. We're just going to rent you for a minute.
The players do have a point here. They want to get paid. They definitely have a point. But they may just have to come to the sad realization that it's more money for a shorter period of time. Instead of these enormous deals. And also, there's a point where you got to bet on yourself. Rodney, you said it. You sign a four-year deal. You're 26. Okay, now you're 30. You've made a lot of money. Are you going to bet on yourself and get another deal? The NBA, 4 or 5 year deals, right? What's the max? 5 years?
5 years.
5 year max.
Yeah.
5 year. And that's a lot of money. Basketball guys make an awful lot of money.
And it used to be seven, so they reduced things in the NBA. Maybe the same thing's going to happen here.
And that's a point, Adam, too, that they're also talking about. Possibly, maybe not having a salary cap, definitely having a salary floor, which I think baseball has. You can't have teams with $30 million payrolls, because that's just ridiculous. And having being able to pay it, maybe raising the minimum salary. There's a way so you are restricted from being able to give a guy a certain amount of. Right now, you can give a guy a 25-year deal if you really want to in baseball. There's no regulation against it. So if you shorten the amount of years guys can get, the NBA has it where a player can only earn so much up to the luxury tax or the salary cap. And then guys can't price themselves out of the market. This is the most you can possibly make, and we don't have issues like this. And maybe baseball needs to go in that direction.
Yeah, the whole max, supermax deal.
Yes,
you know
no
what
doubt.
I'm saying? Yeah. And you know, it's crazy because now it is. It's who's going to flinch first. It's almost like, not quite, but, you know, you remember Aaron Donald and Khalil Mack. You know, they're both of those guys were waiting to see who was gonna what they were going to sign for. And then Aaron Donald did, and but a minute later, Khalil Mack signed for a dollar more, you know, or whatever it was. But I just don't get the fact that, and I'm what you just said, Fred, I bet on myself. If I'm going to get the same money or more per year for 4 years, I'm taking that, and then I'll bet on myself again.
Do you think both the Lakers and Clippers we'll be in the NBA playoffs. We'll figure that out. You know, Tommy Lasorda one time said, when I get that feeling, my bones begin to ache.
Uh-oh.
When I get that feeling. Come back at it. She ain't never. All right,
feeling who, is that, Fred?
Who's got the achy bones? Almost to the All-Star break in the NBA. Clippers and Lakers. Well, Clippers are tied for the eighth spot with Sacramento. And the Lakers are two games back. So let's break it down as we sit here right now. Lakers in Atlanta tonight, a game they really should win. Do both teams make the playoffs? Rodney, I'll start with you.
I'm going to go a quick yes. I'm going to go a quick yes. Yeah, okay. Both teams make the playoffs. I think that happens. But boy, it's a tall order because I like Sacramento, what they're doing. We've been saying they're going to fall off for a long time, and they're exciting to watch if they stay healthy. They got something good going there. And I don't, people are writing off the Clippers. I don't see them falling off either. I really don't. I think they'll keep it together enough to make the playoffs. And I just don't bet against LeBron in terms of, you know, that's a challenge now that's thrown out there. Will the Lakers even make the playoffs? And so challenging the giant, I wouldn't bet against them.
All right. I'm going to say the Lakers. Well, I've said it. So the Lakers do make the playoffs.
You better say that.
Yeah. The Lakers definitely make the playoffs, but I think the Clippers are going to slip.
Yeah,
I do. And they're not trying to tank. They're not trying to pack the season in. But we know what they're doing. And next year is the year when they have all that cap space. I just don't think they have enough to hold on. Adam, am I nuts?
Yeah, not as crazy on this opinion. But the Clippers have one of the easier schedules remaining. So I think they have a really good chance to stay in it because even though they lost Tobias Harris and everyone said they'd take a step back, I heard Bill Orem on with you guys say the same thing, they got better with their bigs and their guards. So they may just be slightly worse or right where they were beforehand. And if you look at the Lakers' schedule, well, they have one of the toughest schedules coming up. Now, I think both of them are getting in. I said before the season, I think both of them are in. The two teams that would be out from last year were going to be Minnesota in San Antonio. Minnesota is out. San Antonio's lost four in a row. They're slipping right now. So I think there's room for both LA teams to get in if the Spurs or, and pay attention to Portland, because they got a really tough schedule coming up. They're the four seed right now. They're only up three games on the eighth seed. I think they could also slip.
And Sacramento, you feel like they can hold on?
Even though I like the move with Harrison Barnes, but I think their youth is going to show in the next 2 weeks coming up after the All-Star break. They have a 15-game stretch where I want to say 10 of those games are on the road. It's going to be really difficult. Plus, the Clippers have the tiebreaker against them. The Lakers and Clippers, though, they still have two more games to play this season. They're 1-1 against one another.
You can't bet against LeBron. You simply can't. That's why he's here. Lonzo will be back. He'll put everybody on his back. Stays healthy, of course. That's the key. And off to the playoffs they go.
Say that again?
What? Lonzo is back.
Yeah, and what else?
And LeBron will put everybody on his back.
Oh, I thought you said Lonzo's going to put everybody on his back.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
I mean, he gained some muscle over the offseason, but not enough for that there, Fred.
No, he'd definitely get hurt again if that happened.
Yeah, he'd pull a muscle. Well, we know that would happen. And by the way, Adam, Zubats, is he a free agent at the end of the year?
He's a restricted free agent, though, and I think his cap hits only $2 million, so it wouldn't cost much for the Clippers to keep him. And they said right after they got him, Doc Rivers said, this is somebody we really like. I wouldn't be surprised if they keep him and pair those young players together because you have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in him. You want that center and that point guard to have that chemistry, and they've showed a little bit of it so far.
If his cap hit is only $2 million, how in the world did the Lakers let him go?
They wanted that outside shooting. They went all in to get Mike Muscala, yeah. And now he's hurt, by the way. He's got an ankle injury going on. He didn't look good in game one, but they thought they were good with low post presence because they had Tyson Chandler and JaVale McGee. Yeah. Zubac kind of fits into that mold, so they need something different.
Boy, I mean, you talk about a guy that just brought energy every time he played. I love Zubac.
And McGee and Chandler won't be there next year, will they?
We will know.
I think they were one-year deals.
They were.
Weren't they?
Yes, they definitely were.
So if they're only one-year deals and they're going to expire at the end of the season, Why would you move a guy like Zubats, who's only going to cost you $2 million next year?
They're trying to win now, Fred.
Exactly. It speaks to what Adam said a second ago. They wanted to improve the roster today to make sure they actually do get into the playoffs.
They're desperate, yeah. Fred. If they lose tonight, by the way, I think Luke Watch is in full effect. This would be the time that they'd let him go. I don't think it would be wise. I don't think it would change much. I don't think it's his fault. But if you're going to do it after losing to Atlanta right before the All-Star break, that's when you'd make that move.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
They'd be a game under 500.
If they lose, and God forbid they lose bad, even if they lose, I think the timing-wise, either if it's going to happen during the season, it'll happen now as opposed to after the All-Star break. I agree with you, Adam.
What if they struggle and win? What if it's not a convincing
win? Win is a win.
Take W's,
wins.
Fred.
Yeah, Fred.
But I'm saying, I'm saying if you're looking at it and you're going, well, if they lose, you think it's over. All right, well, let's say it's pretty damn close, and they eke out a win.
LeBron has to put the cape on to win it. Yeah, I still think he'd stay in that scenario.
Yeah. Winning trumps all of that because winning ugly, nobody cares about that because then you're climbing up the ranks and you're trying to get to that eighth spot, which you don't want. You want trying to get to the seventh spot. So winning, you're not gonna look back and go, oh, that was an ugly win. On February 12th, boy, that was an ugly win.
Remember back when Kobe Bryant shot Mike Brown the death stare because they didn't win a preseason game and they started like 0-4 before they got BJ Bickerstaff as the head coach? If he just won one of those games ugly, he probably would have stayed for the entire season if he hadn't started 0-4.
No, he would not.
No, you don't know. You never know. That one win can change
things. It is an optics thing. If they're a game under 500 going into the All-Star break, that is going to be a huge talking point. That's
all anybody's going to talk about during the All-Star break is that the Lakers are under 500.
But if they shoot 22% from the field and then find a way to win ugly, all they're going to say is, well, they're one game out of the postseason going into the break, and they won.
Yeah, but that's fine if the guy in charge is your guy. Yeah, you go, okay, you know what? We're up and we're on a roll. We're heading to the playoffs now. We're headed to the second half. But if you didn't hire the guy in charge.
Well, we're talking about one game, one win. And
well, because the point was, if they lose tonight, it could be really bad for Luke. So my point is, but what if they win, but it's a struggle? What if they win and they don't look good? Remember, Luke wasn't hired by Magic. So if you're saying if they lose tonight, it's bad, what if they eke out a win? Just eke it out.
Win, Fred. Win.
Okay.
You're losing
still a
sight
W.
You're losing sight of the W. Don't lose sight of the W, Fred.
I'm not going to lose sight of the W. Whatever I do, I'm going to keep that W in sight. Thanks to Rob Parker for hanging out today. We appreciate it very much. Also, thank Harold Reynolds and David Vasse. Adam and Kevin, thanks to you. Petros and Money next on AM570 LA Sports.
To live and die in L.A., where everybody try to fatten their pocket. So many hustle for the cash, so it's hard to knock it. Everybody got their own.